Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Yesterday we started the chapter on the prohibition of men imitating women and women imitating men in their dressing, in their styles, in their movements, etc. So as we are explaining that you'll sometimes get men that they want to behave and dress like women. They want to wear earrings, they want to grow very long hair, and they want to start wearing pink, and sometimes chains and bracelets. Allah Ta'ala protect us. And now the style they do, or sometimes you'll even get men want to wear dresses. There was one case where there was one man that he came to work with a dress and high heels shoes. And now he is saying at work that he decided that today I want to be, from today I became a woman. So now this is what is my choice, so legally I have the right to be a woman. So obviously, naturally, it's creating a big stir at the business place. So the employer, the boss, he didn't know how to deal with this. Somebody coming with a dress and high heels, a man, and now he's saying, no, he's a woman, he's become a woman. So it's creating a big uproar in the business and it's affecting his business. So he called in one attorney. So the attorney tried to interview this person who said now he's suddenly a lady, he's choosing to become a lady or choosing to be a lady. So when he's interviewing him, he said, I had to be so careful that I couldn't even refer to him as he, because now legally it will become a challenge. So I had to write down this person's name, and whenever I'm referring to that person as that person, I would take his name. But this is the irony and the foolishness. Allah Ta'ala has made it so beautiful. Allah has made a man, and Allah has made a woman, a woman. Allah has given men their roles, and Allah has given women their roles. If we want to try and switch it now, a woman must take a man's role, and a man must take a woman's role, and women can start dressing like men, and men can start dressing like women, then we will be changing this beautiful, natural selection that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given, these natural qualities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fitrat Allah has given, men to be men and women to be women. We must be happy with the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So yesterday we did a hadith wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cursed the man who dresses like woman and the woman who dresses like men. So today's hadith also will show us how serious it is, this imitating, for a woman to imitate a man and a man to imitate a woman. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم صنفان من أهل النار لم أرهما قوم معهم سياط كأذناب البقر يضربون بها الناس ونساء كاسيات عاريات مميلات مائلات رؤوسهن كأسنمة البخت المائلة لا يدخلن الجنة ولا يجدن ريحها وإن ريحها ليوجد من مسيرة كذا وكذا رواه مسلم. حضرت أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه narrates that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, there are two categories amongst the people of the fire of Jahannam that I have not seen. Two categories that I have not seen from the people of Jahannam. Who's saying this? Hazrat Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he goes on to explain, people who will have whoops like the tails of cattle with which they will lash people. This is the first category. People who will have whoops like the tails of cattle with which they will lash people. We'll explain this now. And women who are dressed but yet naked. Women who are dressed but yet they are naked. They will attract and they will be inclined. They will be inclined and they will attract. We'll explain this also. Their heads will be like the humps of camels. Their heads will be like the humps of camels. They will not enter Jannah nor smell the fragrance of Jannah. Although its fragrance, the fragrance of Jannah, can be perceived from such and such a distance. Jannah has got such a beautiful fragrance that from very, very, very far, the fragrance of Jannah can be perceived. That these people won't even get that fragrance. In other words, they'll be kept so far away from Jannah because of this action. Until Allah Ta'ala forgives them, Allah Ta'ala pardons them, and they have to go through the cleansing process. Who wants to go through the cleansing process of being put in Jahannam, cleaned out and then going into Jannah? We all want to go one shot into Jannah. None of us like to even wait in a queue in this world. If there are big queues to get in to enter into some supermarket, or there are big queues at the immigration, or there are big queues somewhere, we don't like to stand. Who would like to go into Jahannam first and then get into Jannah? We all want to get one shot into the, we would like to get one shot wherever, or one time wherever we need to go, we would like to get there to our destination. So Jannah is our ultimate destination. We'll be so excited to go there. The person that is involved in these things will be deprived of this. So what is meant by kasiyatun ariyatun? Meaning that woman is dressed but yet naked. Ulama explain, give few explanations. The meaning of dressed is having the bounties of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala has blessed this woman with many bounties. So she's using it, she's got the bounties of Allah Ta'ala. And naked is that she is not being grateful for the bounties. One explanation. Allah has blessed this woman with bounties, but she's not being blessed, she's not being grateful for those bounties. It's as though she's being clothed, but yet she is naked. One explanation. It can also mean that she will cover part of her body and expose part of her body. She'll expose part of her beauty. So although she's clothed, but yet she is naked. This is something that we see all the time today. If you look at the dressing today, it's so skimpy and so shameless that sometimes women have got clothing but yet so revealing. And sometimes the clothing also is so tight that the woman has got clothes but yet she is like naked. So how beautifully Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam described it, then there will be these women that will be kasiyat and ariyat. They will be clothed but yet they will be naked. If you look at some of the clothing, how tight they are, tight fitting, how short they are, etc. So although you got clothes, but it's as though they are naked. The third meaning of this is that she will wear thin clothing, will expose the color of her body. The clothing will be such that it will be so thin that the body also will be exposed via the clothing. Ma'ilat, which is the second part of the hadith. The first part is kasiyatun ariyat, dressed but yet naked. The second part of the hadith is saying ma'ilat, means that they will be reluctant to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what is necessary for them to abide. In other words, these people are inclined. What are they inclined? They will be inclined to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the condition of these women. They will be inclined to disobey Allah ta'ala. Mumilat means that they will teach others their evil actions. They will start teaching others their evil actions, the evil traits, etc. The evils. And today we can see it, that one person starts a style, one person starts a culture, and everyone else follows the culture. That style, that culture came from Paris, came from New York, came from some other London or some other Western country, and now just a short while, takes 2 months or 3 months before that whole style and that culture is coming down to South Africa and other places where it was never there. So ma'ilat and mumilat means to walk by swaying the shoulders. In other words, walking with a, like a bounce, or walking with a sway. This is one way of how these people, how these women will be dressed and how they will walk. It is said that ma'ilat means combing the hair like how prostitutes do up the hair, etc., to attract men. And mumilat means that they will comb the hair of other women in this manner. In other words, they'll dress up other women in this manner, that they will try to attract the attention of men. Their heads, the next part of the hadith said that their heads will be like the humps of camels, refers to them making large and high up arrangements on their head by tying turbans, cloths, etc. Allah Ta'ala protects us. This also, it becomes very, very apparent. Sometimes a person is traveling overseas, etc., and he'll find that this is so apparent. People, women now have got like big buns on their heads and then something tied over to create like a hump, almost like a hump of a camel on top of their head. So in other words, instead of letting the hair flow normally, they tie a big hump and then they put something on top that attracts the attention of people. Allah Ta'ala has made it such that a woman should be concealed when she goes out of the home. A woman should dress up in such a manner that she's not attracting the attention of people. Here it is completely opposite. In all this dressing that we spoke about, it's completely opposite. It's as though they want to attract the attention of others and they want to engage other people in sins. One other explanation is dressed but yet naked is that these women Allah, who are dressed but yet naked are such that they will be dressed in this world and they will be naked in the akhirat. Allah Ta'ala will deprive them on the day of Qiyamah. Allah will deprive them of any type of clothing. Allah Ta'ala will deprive them of His mercy. Why? Because of their condition in this world, that they were so loose and they were so indecent in their dressing that they are now, although had clothes in this world, they will be naked in the year after. This hadith is a prophecy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which he described two categories of people that would appear in the later times, and we are actually seeing this happening now. We said we're going to explain this part of the hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described the first category who will have whoops like the tails of cattle, and which they will lash people. What this means is that those people will beat unjustly and commit a crime that Islam prohibits. There will be people that will be committing zulm. There will be people that will be beating people unjustly. And today we can see so openly, so brazenly, how some people just decide that they want to oppress others. The more powerful now becomes rule, is the law of imperialism, is no more the law of justice. Whoever feels that they want to do what they can do, they can commit injustice. This time will come, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is indicating, it will be a time of zulm, it will be a time of oppression. If it is the interest to note, or it is a point of interest to note, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's description of the second category of woman that will be dressed but naked bears a striking resemblance to the woman folk of our time. We explained this. It should be noted, however, that a woman dressing up for the husband is completely different. Here this is talking about women that are dressing up to go out of the homes and attract the attention of men. One ayat of the Quran, Allah Ta'ala mentions, لَا يَفْتِنَنَّكُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ كَمَا أَخْرَجَ أَبَوَيْكُمْ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ يَنْزِعُ عَنْهُمَا لِبَاسَهُمَا لِيُرِيَهُمَا سُوْآتِهِمَا. Never ever let Shaitan mislead you as he removed your parents from Jannah, tearing off from them their clothing to expose them their private parts, as mentioned in Surah Al-A'raf. In other words, don't let Shaitan cause you to slip in this route where you want to go into the styles and you want to go into the fashion of the world, and you forget how a Muslim woman should be dressing, how a person should be careful about the way he dresses. Further, Muslim women are advised not to imitate the immorality and shamelessness of the Western woman, and to conceal themselves so that their honor and respect remains intact. By removing the sense of shame and modesty which Allah Ta'ala has placed within them, they bring upon themselves innumerable harms in this world and the year after. If you look at the amount of incest, and you look at the amount of rape, and you look at the amount of exploitation as far as women is concerned in the workplace, where does it start from? It all starts from the dressing. The dressing has gone off, then the respect also has been lost. When the dressing was correct, then the respect also was there. Nowadays, Ustad mentions that the cloaks also are made so tight-fitting. The cloaks that women are wearing too, is made designer style, that they must be tight-fitting. That cloak is actually in need of another cloak. And that abaya is in need of another abaya. What is the clothing of a woman? It should be absolutely loose. And when she's going out of the house, the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam explains that she should live in a manner that is untidy. In other words, she's not making her clothes shine and everything must be well pressed and very neat. It must be like in an untidy state. If anybody looks there too, they won't even be attracted. Forget about the cloaks and the scarves being floral colors and different colors and extremely attractive that people want to see. It is such an untidy manner that people don't even want to look again. This is how a woman should be leaving a home. Unfortunately, nowadays you'll find it such that a woman will drive. One person in Urdu, he said it very nicely. He said, chamakta hua gariya, that the cars also are shining. The cars also that the women are driving are exclusive cars, that you want to look at it for the second time. And then the scarves and the clothing and the designer styles that they're wearing are also attractive. Now, how we expect that men mustn't look at them, and how do we expect them not to get the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when they are going to be leaving their homes in such a manner? So therefore, the laws of Shariat are so beautiful, and when they are applied, you'll find that a woman can walk out 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, and nobody will touch her. Nobody will interfere with her. Look at the Haram Sharif, sometimes you see people going for tawaf 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. I'm not saying that woman should be walking alone. I'm just giving an example. But there's no fear that somebody is going to interfere with them, somebody is going to attack them. But any other part of the world where the laws of Sharia of Islam are not even in a small percentage found, and what happens? That it's such fear that no woman can even come out on the street and the road. Allah Ta'ala protect us and Allah Ta'ala save us. So all these laws of Islam are not there to make it hard for us. It's actually there for our own hifazat, our own protection, our own security, and for our own progress. May Allah give us all the tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah, bihamdi, subhanakallahumma, wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun al mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.